Hello.
Welcome to the Bible Study Girl podcast. My name is Sarita. You may know me as Bible Study Girl, and I'm just a girl with something to offer the world. You may be wondering why I was laughing. I was laughing because my cat was startled when he heard a Bible study brother say hello through the airway. And that was the first voice you heard. Take it away, Bible study brother.
It is I, Bible study brother, but I'm also known as Icarus Gray over at Gray Area Anime. And this is the most wonderful podcast of your day. And as my sister often likes to say, we are not just brother and sister in Christ. We are actually brother and sister in real life. Same mother. All that good stuff.
All that good stuff. Which means we know lots and lots about each other. And I'm really excited for us to kick this episode off today. But before we get started, brother, how has your week been?
Super good. I feel normal. I feel like myself. Got some prayer at my church. Put some things into perspective for me. Allow me to tap back into the childlike wonder of asking God things that clearly is within his power and things that he can do. And allow me to kind of get to a better stage of grief. In a sense, like that the biggest thing we got from this prayer was, you know, he was like, you know, sometimes the guy that was praying for us was like, sometimes I sit and I talk to God and I tell him, hey, can you just tell them how much I love them, how much I care for them? Like, you know, I'm not sure if I said it enough or whatever. And like, then he went on to just kind of explain that thought, like, I mean, why am I, you know, why, again, like how we lessen God's ability.
Right.
And it's just like, why would he not be able to do that? You know, like, I don't know necessarily if he does, but he could.
Right.
Relay those messages. And I was laughing because of before our episode or during our last episode, I think we saw a cardinal before the podcast or during, I can't remember.
It was before.
Yeah. And so that was like really amazing and cool and tied me immediately back to that. And I was like, you just like with the infinite power and wisdom of like creating a universe and creating me and knowing all the things before me, you could relay a message if, you know, I just ask you that and feel confident in that. So yeah.
I love to hear that.
Yeah. And give me a little free. How about you, sissy poo?
I've been poked and prodded and prodded and poked this week, and I've come out on the other side a-okay. Per usual, you know, I've had a lot of things on my plate. I look forward to having the opportunity soon to slow down. So yeah, it's been a good week. I've gotten a lot of things accomplished and I'm excited to see what's coming. I'm excited. Good week. And I think we have a great reason to celebrate today. But before we get into the point and the topic of today's podcast, do you have a scripture for us? And if you don't, I do.
You do today. I'm gonna let you have it.
Okay, I will take it away. So today's scripture is coming from Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. This is the New King James Version. If you are into knowing what version people are reading from, that's typically what I read first, and then I'll go to different versions.
Hmm.
I just have a love for King James, but I like the newer. Anyway, so Jeremiah 17, 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. And I think it is a very appropriate scripture for today's topic because we are celebrating our mother. Mother's Day is knock, 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 knocking.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door, I guess.
It's knocking on the door, and we're very excited that we get the opportunity to celebrate our mother. Bible Study Brother mentioned her at the beginning of the podcast. We refer to her as Bible Study Mama around here, and it's been a while since you've heard her voice on the podcast. I think we have all had really packed schedules lately, so it's much more difficult for us to coordinate schedules so that you guys can hear her voice. But what's better than hearing her voice? Is hearing the voice of her children as we talk to you guys about lessons that we've learned from our mom, things that she has imparted to us that we're going to take with us forever. You know, we joke about our mom on this podcast. We tease her a lot.
A lot.
Sometimes a lot, a lot. Sometimes we have really serious moments with her on this podcast. So I think today, I don't know what Bible Study Brother has prepared, but I know what I've prepared. It's a mix of serious and sweet, but I think that's the beauty of it. I've learned a mix of serious and sweet things from my mom. So I'm actually going to start. And I'm going to tell you one of the things that I've learned from my mom that I have taken throughout my life. And I reflected on this the other day, is I've learned from her to be brave. I've said it before. Mm-hmm. I am an introvert. I like to be to myself. I have very strong opinions about about everything. And so I specifically remember going into the first grade. Before the first grade, I lived in the country. I mean, everybody at the school knew my family. It was a different environment. It felt more safe. And moving to Little Rock was moving to the big city. And now I'm going to the big school. And when I reflect on my elementary school, I remember feeling like it was so huge. Now when I drive by, I mean, it's still big, but now when I drive by, I'm coming from a different perspective. The scale is different. I'm like, I remember this being immense, but I remember specifically walking into the school, the first day of first grade, meeting my teacher, blah, 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 all that. I was angry with my mom, okay, because I thought it would be a better idea. I don't even think I had a notion of what homeschooling was, but I just knew that this is not where I was supposed to be.
Yeah. You probably created homeschooling and named it something else, knowing you.
Probably. With all these strangers, all these weird people that I didn't know. And I remember very distinctly mama telling me, you know, you got this. Be brave. You will be fine. You know, you're going to do it. And before the day was over, I discovered that she was correct. And I think that is a lesson that I continue to learn from her. She continues to encourage me to be brave in lots of different ways and to get outside of my comfort zone. She was not one when I was growing up, and even now, she was not one that was like, you can't do it. Or if it was scary for me, she did not allow me to just sit on a gift, and not even sit on a gift, but just not participate. She's always pushed me to be brave and go beyond what's comfortable for me. That definitely caused some tension at times, because like I said, I've always been very, 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 very opinionated. But I'm grateful for that, because now I can see clearly that is why I do so many things that are uncomfortable for me, because I didn't have the time to just sit in my comfort zone. Mm. And now I can attribute to that my mama. I can attribute that to mama constantly pushing me, you know, and it got on my nerve. It got on my nerves so bad. Ooh, so bad. But I'm grateful for it. So yeah, that's my first one. She taught me to be brave.
My first one is my tried and true one, and I say it a lot on the podcast when we talk about certain things. But my mother taught me faith, man.
Ooh, that's a great one, brother.
I just don't have any other representation of no, like, the peace of God, all of it, like, came from her, like, watching her and all these things, you know, and she did it so effortlessly because it just looked like this is what you do. You know, now, granted, you know, we get out here and my sister and I want to live life as the wild, but not wild at all children that we are. And experience stuff, but because of her faith, I still tempered how I was trying to experience life. Like, and so I'm like, because I knew, you know, like, you could tell when it's like, I'm just out here, I'm being crazy, I'm just doing stuff. Like, God, right. don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, because of how she believed. And it wasn't, you know, finding, like, that love of God from her and just like, oh, I can ask him for this? Oh, I can tell him this? Like, we should pray before we open these presents, you know, like, comes from, like, seeing her. Like, I don't think about doing it anywhere else or make that connection, because I think in my mind as a kid, it's like, well, we pray all the time before this and before this. And, like, and I've noticed a correlation between when we pray, really good things happen in my mind. Let's pray before, like, let's thank him because, like, I got to thank him that he let Santa bring me gifts, you know, or whatever. And her faith is so steadfast in a lot of different things. It's just how I move through life. I just move through as like I see the way she operates. And I'm pretty sure she like will downgrade like how much she actually taught us in regards to like faith or whatever. But like, I don't preach that Sunday after losing, you know, Tamika and Uncle Blue, if I don't know what her faith is like, if I don't know what it means to actually walk in purpose from the things that I saw her do and from the way she serves and everything else, I just don't. So, yeah.
Right. And it's one thing to hear people talk about faith at church, but it's another thing to actually see it lived out. And it's a big thing. Like you said, it's a big deal that parents not just be the person at church, but they be that person for real, because your children are watching. They see you. They see your example. They see what you do. And a lot of times I think as kids or whatever, we see what they do more than we hear those words. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I would never... I don't think I've not ever seen my mama not be brave and not do something and not step out there. And so it's weird to me when she says, except for, I'm going to tell you when she was not brave, because I told her I wanted to ride bikes this summer. And
yo, you're going to make me tell the story out here, like about how crazy my mama is.
I told her I wanted to ride bikes this summer. She was like, but also, let me rewind this. Mama has been wanting us to get bikes for the longest. So now, all of a sudden, when I'm like legitimately ready to ride bikes, she's like, know about that. Anyway, so that's the only area I've seen her not be brave. But also, like I told Bible study brother off the air, I'm going to trust her judgment in this area.
I'm not. I will tell you this. So as a small update to the story that I'm about to tell, I asked my father the same question of like, did he think I knew how? He said, yeah. Now, did he like remember the time frame? No, not really, but just kind of assumed. And I was like, I don't understand. There was not knowledge that this used to be my life. But I do know that it was during the every call in the world that could possibly be taken, Beverly Jean Gray was taking it.
Right.
Like, she just was. And for call, for those who don't know, that's like when you're a nurse and you're on call, when they call you, you come in. Just a simple breakdown of that between a certain time, and it's normally like either really early or really late. Hers were both at some times in life, it felt like. But anyway, yeah. So, yeah. She is something else. So, oh, the story. I got to tell y'all the story.
So, yeah, I was like, you kind of left
them hanging. So, talking about this thing about bicycles, right? My mother, in this conversation, assumed I did not know how to ride a bike. And I was like, what? What do you mean?
So much so. So Bible study brother was not present for this conversation that I was having with mama. But I was like, he knows how to ride a bike. And she was like, when? When would he have learned how to ride a bike? I never bought him a bike. I'm starting to question everything that I know. Okay. At this point, I'm like, we had bikes that were downstairs and they were stolen. And that's why we stopped riding bikes. But we certainly had bikes. My mom was like, no, he can't ride a bike.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
And so I think I texted you like, yo, do you know how to ride a bike? Because she has me feeling like.
I was like, yeah, what are you talking about? Like, I had a whole bike gang and everything. Like, what do you mean? Like, friends, we had names for all of these little places in the neighborhood. So, like, there's this, let's see, house. There's the alley behind us, which I feel like we call Cool Alley or something like that. Because when you came out of Cool Alley on 25th.
Okay.
Probably on 26th, I guess. You know that big tree that used to be down there?
Mm-hmm.
That was the cool tree. Because why? It was cool down there during the summer. And then if you went up, you know, when you're on Martin Luther King, that alley before, if you go to the left, we call that dog alley. Why? Because I don't know if you remember that house up there. Them folks had dogs in that thing. Like...
And mama was none the wiser.
Like, I'm riding, like, literally riding, like, everywhere. And I feel like I had my bike probably up until, like, 6th or 7th grade, probably before, like, a tire got flat or something like that. And then it just resided in the basement. My bike was the only one that was left.
Yeah.
Out of all these other bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was so funny because I was like, wow, you really didn't know that I just had a whole life out here. Like, it's crazy. Gang.
Mama was oblivious.
Yeah. So, yes, I can still ride a bike. But I had to tell that funny story. What's your number two thing that Doodle Mom has taught you?
I think the number two thing that Mama has taught me, again, I've been very reflective lately, is to love hard. I have had a lot of health challenges within the past year. And it could be something as, like, she just took me to the doctor. Okay. Mama has taught me lots of things, right? Like being brave. And so I function in a very independent way. So I had to go to the doctor. It never even occurred to me. This is like a fault of mine that I wouldn't be able to drive myself. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't even like a thing. Like, after the procedure, I'm thinking,
wait, this is your love and heart explanation?
Yes.
Okay, keep going.
Because I mentioned it. I was like, okay, I have to have this done. Well, I was explaining the procedure to her, and she was like, oh, that's a bloody bloody blah. She's like, okay, where are you getting it done? What time? Like, okay, what time do I need to pick you up? And I'm like, to take you. And I'm like, it never even crossed my mind. She was like, yeah, girl, you will not be able to drive yourself. Like, I'm coming to get you. I don't care what's happening. And for any situation that has happened, not just medical, but anything that happens to me, my mama loves hard. And I think she is the epitome of the reason why I say that love is an action word, because anytime I have a need and she's able to meet it, she meets it without me even having to ask her. And we've had this conversation because she talks all the time. She's like, oh, you are so spoiled, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Mom, listen, I was like, let's think about it, though. How often do I ask you for anything? I don't ask you for things. I don't even think to ask you for things. Like, you just give your love. You volunteer to do whatever. Like, it's not because I'm like, hey. And a lot of times I'm just talking to her in the course of conversation, and like I said, I'm not even thinking like, and this is where you step in. We're just talking about life, right? And so she continues to show up for me in a myriad of ways, and not just for me, for other people. I can, like, there's a lady, one of the mothers of her church, like, She picks her up for church every Sunday. She just loves so hard on so many people. And I have no idea how many people she has loved on, but she just has a giving spirit and a loving heart. And she really exemplifies what it means to like love people for real and do for people and champion for people. So she's 100% taught me to love hard and to go hard. And if you're not loving like this, you're probably not loving enough. So yeah.
That's a good one. my second one is a funny one, but I had to like think for a while. My mother taught me how to go anywhere and figure out where you are.
Oh, yes. That is a special skill set.
Like, and, you know, when I moved or anywhere I've gone, I've never been afraid of like the newness or wherever I am. Like the highway is a different story because the highway be the highway depending upon what kind of highway you on. And I ain't never had to drive in Texas highways. I've just been in the car, but praise the Lord for the most part. But, you know, when I moved up here, like I immediately just started like driving around. Like I would use my GPS, but I would be looking around like, where am I? What's around here? I remember that street. What connects to this? What connects to that? To where now, like, I drive around, like, literally, like, okay, is this on this side of town, this side of town? I know that these streets get me everywhere that I need to get. I know the front way, the back way, the side way to get to my home. You know, in the event that traffic is crazy or whatever. And I know this because it just makes me safe. My mom would take us on vacation. And it will come to a point where it's like, we know exactly where we are, how this road connects back to this road or whatever. Even if it's like real simple roads, like going to Panama City, there aren't like too many roads. Like when you're staying like on the beach, there aren't too many roads that don't lead to the beach in that way. But it got to a point where it's like, we all knew we're exactly where we were, you know, didn't have to use GPS. Like, we like to go down here. All right, let's go down this way. Let's drive, you know, it's going to take 5-10 minutes or whatever. And we would only then pull the GPS out if we were going to do something that was like outside of the area we had already learned. Right. And it's really important to me because that's the thing that made me the most comfortable about being up here is when I figured out like, oh, okay, this is how I get back home. This is how I get here. Oh, okay. Dot, dot, dot. Like, oh, this is really home. Now I can drive around comfortably and like know how to get places, know how much time it takes me, have my way of going. And it just like genuinely adds a huge amount of joy to my life and accomplishment of like learning a place. And so I learned that from her.
Okay. I have my number three thing that I learned from mom, and it's going to be my last thing. And I think it is. I think it
please shows, let ours be the same, please.
I don't think it is. We'll I really see. Don't. So we'll I see. Think it is something that, again, I've been very reflective lately, and I've been told that I'm so much like my mom, especially here recently. And this is one thing that she taught me, but laughing loudly. My mama is a loud laugher. And I have definitely learned that from my mama. At one of my jobs, one of the therapists was walking by the office and she said, you know, I thought I heard your laugh earlier today, but I thought I was like, am I delusional? I swear I hear her. And I thought to myself, I laughed that loudly. Clearly, I do. I don't know. It's just in me. Mama laughs so loud and I love to see her laugh. I think we both do. It's when she gets really tickled, she doesn't laugh. Well, initially, she's not going to laugh loud. It's like a buildup. Like, you know how when you get a spanking and you're about to cry, like when mama is really about to let loose, it's like a rise and buildup to where her face gets red. And
when her face like, gets oh red, God. She can't breathe. And like you either have to decide that I'm going to keep this joke going and almost kill her because it's funny. Or I'm gonna stop.
And I'm gonna tell you, like, I think being able to laugh and laugh at myself has helped me tremendously in life. I sent y'all a video like last month, a couple months ago. I left the gym. It was raining that day. We had worked out our legs like so hard. So it was raining. I went to check my mail in the mailbox. My mailbox is up like on a slope. I'm walking down towards my house and my legs just give out. It's raining. It's wet. It's slick. My legs just give out. I'm covered in mud, right? So I'm I get up. I'm like, okay, girl, be more careful. I take like two steps and I'm back on the ground. And the first thing I do is laugh out loud. I'm covered in mud, right? And it was only once I got in the house and like started to clean up that I'm like, my security camera probably captured this epic, these epic tumbles. So I sent the video to my family, like, here's your laugh for the day. And you know who laughed real long and loud? Mama. And you know who else laughed real long and loud? Grandma.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah. Oh my Lord. You get that one in the laugh factory. Yeah. That's another thing.
Mama said, I was like, Mama, what are you laughing at? And she couldn't even get
Now there was an expectation when we were a full family at the time, four of us, that every time that we would go out to eat, our mother would find something to laugh at that would literally turn her red almost every time. And it would be something me and my sister would know most times because we're hilarious.
I received that. I've stepped into my I'm hilarious era.
No, you've been there a long time, champ.
No, I'm just saying I'm accepting the fact that I am hilarious.
Okay.
Continue.
And so majority of the time it would be tied to her comfortability in places because she would do a thing. I'm not gonna like embarrass her on Mother's Day. And then we would just watch the reactions of others in the area, to which we would have these gut-wrenching laughs because people would just, like, it was so hilarious to me. I don't know if do you remember this? You know what I'm talking about, what I'm alluding
to? I really
to? Don't. Okay. Bombs would be dropped. Is that better?
That's fine.
Okay. And so when they were, like, we would just see the aftermath. Like, I especially remember this at the Applebee's because of the little walk up.
I don't remember us going to Applebee's.
It was either that or Chili's. There was a place, I know that there's a place like with a walk up so we could like see people coming back around the corner is what I remember.
That wasn't typically like...
It wasn't an all the time thing.
Okay.
No. I just mean like this was one instance of like a time. There was a Target instance where this happened. Where
oh, yes. That's very laugh loudly. I won't forget Target. I know what you're saying.
There was a time like in IHOP. It didn't matter where we were. My mother was going to be my mother. And so, you know, it was just a joy to like, if you could make her laugh red, It like brought me so much. I had to like do it again. We went to see Kevin Hart. What now? Or is it Laugh in My Pain?
I don't remember which one it was. I don't know if it was Laugh in My Pain. All I know.
Oh no, Laugh in My Pain was a me and you thing. Like it was probably What Now then.
Are you mean when we went to see him in person or in the movie theater?
In the movie theater, because that's when she
Yeah, she laughed and embarrassed us. Like, Mama, the joke is long over.
Gone back, and she could not stop herself.
You could
so then,
not hear herself
it was so
together.
Bad that, like, once it finally like came out, like, and you could get the clip on YouTube, I would play 5 seconds of the clip, and she would immediately know what the clip was, and start laughing. Like, and I would just have to pull it out every now and again.
I was so embarrassed in the movie theater that day. I'm like, Mama, people can't even, they can't hear. We don't know what the setup to the next joke is because you can't get yourself together. Right.
So that was your third to laugh hard?
That was my third and last. What is your third and last, Mother?
My third and last. is the one is a doozy. I mean, technically, it could be bounced off of yours, but my mama taught me how to be bougie, man.
How could it be bounced off of laughing loudly?
Because the bouginess that my mama taught me is always hilarious because she, for the longest time, is delusional, I will say, about her tax status compared to other people.
She is.
And so it was one of the things that would like cause so many just genuine, this is how you feel statements that are like, but I can't do that. Like, what are you talking about? Like, how do you do that? Like, I don't have those kind of capabilities, which gave her the moniker Big Bank. Is that what we call her?
I do call her Big Bank.
And so, but we only do that when she's being like full Monopoly, Mr. Monopoly, like grabbing her mustache, twisting it, saying stuff. There was a time where, and this is so funny to me, my sister was thinking about just, we were having a when my sister gets married conversation, and she was like, I really, you know, I'm looking at this ring, and like my sister will go out and scout bougie things that she would buy for herself. You know, and just like, yeah, I mean, I'm not finna get this certain thing, but like if the availability ever came up and this was in my account, I'm getting it. And so she had looked at a ring, and like the total amount of the ring came out to about like $10,000. I think, right?
I don't know.
Okay. It's somewhere in that range. And so we're having the conversation, and my sister is like, you know, well, you know, whoever marries me, I hope that like these are the sizes and things that they would need to know. She was talking to me about it. And I don't know how we get here, but I just remember my mom goes, if he doesn't have enough money to buy you what you want, it's not, he ain't the one. And I'm like, but mama, that's a super expensive ring. It's not like you saying like, you know, it's $1,000 or $2,000 payment plan, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, do you know how much money you make? And we sat there like having a conversation, and that's when you were just like, I don't know if you realize that not everybody makes the same amount of money that you do or is at the same level. And so like the bouginess of just being like, I need this or I want this. I know I got it from her. I have like, and it's the way it manifests is between the three of us, but specifically in her children. If there is something that we want, be it a some appliance, like if a new air fryer or something comes out and we are like all into air fryers, or if we're into actual fryers, true story, we went and got fryers one day just randomly because we were in there and feeling that way, then we do it, and it like allows me to enjoy life because I don't like put myself in a position where I think that I'm like poor or unable. I think I'm capable of everything. If it takes me a while, if I gotta save, if I gotta go and do this, I'm gonna get it. So I don't think of like her making me bougie like as a bad thing. I think of it as like you should want better things for your life in a certain way. It shouldn't like overtake your life, which it doesn't, but it should propel you in a way to kind of like want bigger and better for yourself and go and get it. Like, get it however you got to get it. If it takes a little while, because she taught me this in a way of like, so if I wanted to get something, right, I would say, hey, I want so-and-so. And I remember she got paid every 2 weeks. And she would say that, well, we can't get it this check. We can get it like in 4 checks or something like that. And at the time, of course, I don't understand what that means. I just think it's a date. And I'm just thinking about the date. But then as I got older, I was like, oh, you're saving. Can't do it on this one because you got to pay for this. You got to go and do that. You got to go and do that. But I'll save until I can get the thing that I want to get, the thing that I like really enjoy, I really like. I don't care about like, you know, if everybody else has one and I don't. Patience. And it made it like all this stuff like worth it. And it's just one of those things that I'm so glad that I learned from her, because when you're an adult and you're trying to do all these things, I'm sure that that's, you know, it made you getting your home like even more enjoyable. Like, you know, you've been looking around, you've been doing all these things, but it's the home for you. you know, getting your appliances and stuff in your home. It's the stuff that, you know, you need for your house. And I just love that about her, that she has never put herself like in this box of like, I can't, you know, and it might come back to, you know, your courage thing, but it also felt like this work ethic thing, to where it took me a very long time to not look at every person I tried to date like, nah, you got to be like my mama. Like my mom.
Are you sure about that? Because you married your mom.
Not in the same way.
You married your mama.
Because, well, yeah, I guess so.
You married in that your way. Mama.
Yeah, because she will, like, if mom would have 100% acquiesced to a submission if there had been the order of things. Insane. Just real, like, yeah, you know, it's like, y'all get out here and do what you need to do. Hard work is not a problem. Like, everywhere you go, people love you. And I just, I don't know. I love that about mama. I love that about, like, having that as a characteristic of my life. Is just, when you go and you get better, like, and not feeling bad about doing something nice for yourself. Like, something that's really, well, like, nice.
I would say that mama really doesn't do a whole lot of nice things for herself. She's had to learn that, I would say, within the last 15 years, that it's okay to do nice things for yourself. Like, even in the story you gave about you wanting things and you would have to wait for her for paychecks or whatever, her concern was pouring into her children and anybody else. Like I said, she loves really, really hard. So I think that is one thing she's starting to learn, and she hasn't mastered it, but I would definitely say within the last 15 years she is taking more time to do things for herself. And I've been pushing her, you know, for years she would tell her friends, even when we were grown, that she couldn't go because of her children. And I had to have a come to Jesus meeting with her, like, girl, see the world, like, dude, what, we grown, like, go be.
I will say she does do it in that way. I think sometimes I don't give enough credit to how much she actually enjoys that for herself in a certain way. Not so much like doing stuff for us or just buying us stuff, but when she's serving and doing things for others, she does
love to serve. But I would say that's one thing I want her to do more of, is to take care of herself more and do for herself more and love on herself more, because she's definitely a pour outer, and so that makes it very important that I pour into her, that you pour into her, that people that know her pour into her, because she's constantly pouring out. So that was the purpose of this episode, to pour into our mom, to let her know that her work has not been in vain, that we love her and we appreciate her for everything that she does for us. We joke about our mom all the time. That's not going to stop. That's just how we roll. But behind the jokes and underneath all of that, there's a tremendous love and heart for our mom, and gratefulness and thankfulness to God that he given us her. So happy Mother's Day, mommy. I love you. You're my favorite.
Love you too, Mother Doodle. I hope you have an amazing day, and I just hope you know that you are loved, know that God created you with a special assignment that you wake up and work to do every day, and it is a glowing example of service, love, and the beauty of God, and how once you accept him, you are a new creature. You truly exemplify that in each and every way that I've ever seen in life. And I appreciate you very, very much.
Love you, love you.
Love you, love you. We hope that you guys enjoyed this episode of the Bible Study Girl podcast. We'll be back next week. Tune in. Remember, it's not just you or I, but we preach.
And until we meet again, guys, keep preaching. Yeah.